You can tell that I'm built like an aerobics teacher, can't you? Yeah, hidden. All slipped. Landslidden. No, this we're going to go dip into the Old Testament this morning for a bit. It's just something that I'm just we're just building up. Andrew's going to be doing something in the next session. And it's sort of a, can I say what it is, Angela? Or sort of a workshop. I'm going to be with the youth afterwards. So, is Stacey still here? Yep. Stacey, come and just share what you shared with me this morning. I want Stacey to share this, not for any other reason, but just to demonstrate that God is in the house.
A lot of you know that over the past 18 months to 2 years, it's been quite difficult for our family. We lost our nephew, then we lost Debbie's brother, then we lost Andy, and then Debbie was going through this operation. Well, the Lord's called me to be an evangelist in our neighbourhood. And just as I was starting to get over one loss, there was another loss. And then just as I was starting to get over that, something else was happening. And I was starting to feel extremely weighed down. And I was putting to one side what the Lord was wanting me to do. Well, I felt that the words that Graham had last night about the ice around the heart was for me, because I wasn't caring as much about the work I was doing in the community and what it was the Lord wanted me to do, because my focus was being drawn elsewhere. Also, you all know that I used to be a drug addict. And over the past couple of weeks, the enemy's been tempting me with my addictions again, telling me that if I just touch a bit of that, that'll make me forget all the bad things that are happening, all the bad things that are going on around me. Well, I was prayed for by Graham and Angela last night. And when I went asleep, I had a dream that it was me kneeling on the floor in the presence of God, and I was just casting everything off one by one, one by one, and God was taking it from me. And I've woke up this morning, and I feel so much lighter, so much lighter.
So that's really just to demonstrate what God can do, okay? It's nothing to do with me or Angela, it's to do with God dealing with Stacey. And he can do the same for you if you just let him do it. I'm just going to pray. Why don't you just stretch your hands out? I'm just going to pray for Stacey. Father, I just pray in the mighty name of Jesus for a supernatural, fresh impartation of Jesus just to fall on him right now, Father, that he would know the strength of you in him, Lord, in his body, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. We pray for his beloved wife. We pray, Father, for a rapid, speedy recovery to full health, Father. We pray for the family. We plead the blood of Jesus over Stacey and his wife and his children, the family and the home and everything about him. We plead the blood of Jesus over this man that you have snatched back from the jaws of the enemy. And, Lord, you're using him to bring glory and praise and honor to your name. And, Lord, you're going to use him, Lord, to bring many to Jesus. Father, we bless you for him. We ask you bless him and strengthen him and protect him, we pray, in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's a word that I picked this up at the prayer and fasting conference, and it talks in Genesis about Isaac digging wells, and every time he went somewhere, there was a dispute, so he moved his people away until he found a place, and they called it Rehoboth, and it was, God has given me a good place, and I will be fruitful in that place. And I really feel that's for you, that God has moved you into a good place, and he's going to make you fruitful in that place, okay? Rehoboth. Look it up. It's in Genesis 26, I think, somewhere like that. All right. That was good. That's just demonstrating that God does move and is moving. How many of you believe that he is as much active now as he was in the times of the Bible times? In fact, you know, didn't Jesus say somewhere in the New Testament? That's right. That's right. Now, that's right. Now, who has faith to believe that 100%? Faith to believe for that 100%. I'm not putting my hand up because but I believe that our faith is going to rise. It's good to have testimony, because it's not for anybody's grandestment or anything like that. It's just to show and prove that God does move and help. And I believe that we're going to see a lot more of that this next few hours, couple of days that we're here together, because we both felt, we felt there's something bubbling. I said to somebody here last night, I felt there was something like an undercurrent bubbling, a good undercurrent bubbling. And it's like finding the vent holes with which to come through. And I believe we're starting to see some of those. We prayed for a few people last night, and it was a real sense that God is doing stuff. So have faith. If you don't have faith, ask. Let's just pray for faith, yes? Let's just ask God. For, who would like more faith? Right, we're going to pray that first. But who would like, if you've got no faith at all, we can ask God to give you that faith as a gift, to gift faith to you, to believe for the things that we read in the Scripture. Do you want that? Let's pray. Father, we just ask right now, Lord, you see every open heart in this room. Father, I want to pray for every single person here, Lord, that you would gift him with faith. Lord, those that have faith, thank you, Father, for that. Father, I ask, will you increase that faith, Lord, to supernatural levels, Father? They could believe that when they speak to a mountain and tell it to move, that it will move. When they speak to a sickness and tell it to go, it will go. When they speak Jesus into someone's life, that Jesus, you'll come and you'll manifest yourself in that person's life. Father, we just ask for the gift of faith. We ask for an increase of faith. And we say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and gift us with that faith, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. We're going to look at Isaiah 35 today. It's going to be, what time do I need to be finished? 11, right, we've plenty of time. We want to pray for people this morning before I finish, so that when you come to the next bit with Angela, when she does, she'll explain all that, her workshop, then you'll understand a bit more, okay? Is that all right? It's exciting. Being with the people of God is exciting, believe me, isn't it? That's why we're made to be creatures of relationship. We're not made to be in isolation from one another. We're made to be creatures of relationship. God made us to be people who are in relationship to one another. The Trinity is the model of relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes? Talk. You can talk to me. I love it. We do this in Woolwich, and I love it. They just talk back, and you talk to them, and they talk back. It's like a bit of like the African church, you know? It's lovely. Hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. I love all that. But we're sort of a bit quiet and British, aren't we? So, well, I'm not. I'm Irish, so are you Welsh, David?
Yeah.
You know, I've just, this time last week, I was in a state of flux because Ireland were playing the last game of the Six Nations, and they blew it. And I was in deep depression for at least 20 minutes. After that, we had a joint prayer event in Greenwich on the Saturday night, and I was supposed to be leading it. And I watched the rugby, and I tell you what, I was dragging my feet when I went to that thing, and I just didn't know where I was going to get my energy from, or excitement, or enthusiasm, because I'd been praying like mad, and God didn't answer my prayer. Not in the way I wanted it. But he did it the week before because we beat the Welsh, and that was good. Never mind. Anyway, Isaiah 35. Let me just read it, because this has been inspiring me for a while, this chapter, because I've learned such a lot from it. And I believe God's got a message for us from it this morning, okay? It may not be how you were expecting it, so don't have any preconceived ideas of what's coming, okay? I'm just going to read, let me read the first few verses, because I think there's a message here for us as church, for Broadfields as a church, we're in your situation, okay? It starts off, it says, let's read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Araba will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely, and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And then it goes on to say, encourage the exhausted. Does anyone here feel exhausted? It says to encourage the exhausted. Anybody feel a bit feeble? says strengthen the feeble, says to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. That's a good word, isn't it? We could show excitement at that word, couldn't we? That's brilliant. Listen to this. Listen, where else on earth are people going to find encouragement? Where are they going to find a release from anxiety if it isn't through knowing Jesus Christ? There's nowhere else. Today, in the banks and in the financial situations, although it's getting slightly better, is anybody here in that sort of area, work in the banks or in finance, anything to do with that? There's a lot of anxiety around, and to be honest, there's no way that they can deal with that. There's no way that the world can approach and deal with anxiety. Because, all right, they can minister or they can counsel you away from it, but they've got nothing to put back. Okay, so what does the Bible say about when we get rid of one demon? If we don't replace it with something, then another seven come back. People who are feeling anxious, and there's particularly people over their finances and over their resources, their financial wealth and all the rest of it, they're feeling anxious right now. And there's nothing other than Jesus Christ that can deal with that anxiety. And if the Church of Jesus Christ is doing its job properly, they'll be speaking into those situations in people's lives. Okay? Not denouncing the bankers, not denouncing this and that. There was wrongdoing went on, don't get me wrong. But we've got to bring the stability and the balance of Jesus into this. That's what that word says. I believe that's a word for the church. That we, if people are feeling anxious to the point of suicide, the only place they're going to find the answer is through Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to find out about that answer is if the Church of Jesus Christ goes out and tells them about it. Okay? So there's a message here for the church, not just for Broadfield, but for the church in general, that we need to be, as a church, as individuals. I said to you last night, there's no room in the body of Christ, there is no room for secret agents, silent agents, people that are, what do you call them, sleeping agents, that just sort of sleep around, don't do anything, and suddenly spring up. God is calling every one of us to do his or her duty. And that is to get the good news of Jesus Christ out. We've got to encourage those that are weak, those that are feeble. We've got to say to the anxious, do not fear, because your God, our God, will come, and he will come. He will come if we do the stuff. We do the stuff. I said to you again last night that we are the arms and legs of God. He needs you and I to get the message of Jesus out into the world. Do you believe that? We need to be people that are ready to stand up, be counted in the workplace, wherever it is, and on your estate, in your coffee shops, and all the rest of it, that we can bring that good news and speak. I believe that's a prophetic word. The first part of that, it says, I believe this is the what can happen. It says, the wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Araba will rejoice and blossom. The Araba is a desert. It will rejoice and blossom like a crocus, like crocuses. It will blossom profusely. That's what is promised. That's a prophetic word from the Lord to you and me, to your situation in Broadfield, to my situation in Woolwich, to the situation that you confront and face every day. This is what will happen. But the challenge to the church is to encourage the exhausted. Encourage your leaders. Encourage those that are in authority above you. Encourage those that take the responsibility in this church. You know, that they need to be encouraged too. And then to those, the anxious ones, take courage. It talks about the vengeance of your God will come. It says, behold, your God will come with vengeance. This isn't the vindictive vengeance that I would have. You know, what does it say? Don't get angry, get even. That's not how God works. His vengeance is a vengeance that restores righteousness and brings justice and peace and brings those things back where you've been harmed, where you've been damaged, where you've been affected by whatever somebody said to you or done to you physically. Your God will come and he'll rectify that. He'll restore that. It doesn't mean to say that he won't go around smashing people's heads in because, oh, you damaged my child, you have this on me. That's not how it works. but he brings righteousness and justice back in to those situations that have bothered you and that you've struggled with for years. That's what the word of the Lord says. That's what he means when it says about his vengeance will come. He will make the justice of your cause shine like the noonday sun. Okay? And then the promise is in verse 1 that where there's been desert in your life as a result of all that stuff that's gone before, where there's been desert, he will bring fertile ground. He'll bring soil that will grow things. Soil that will produce fruit. Okay? That's the promise. That's the prophetic word. There's something we have to do. And then God says, this is what's going to happen. Okay, it seems like it's back to front, but this is what I felt the Lord was saying to us this morning as part of what we're doing. Okay, so be encouraged. We've got a message for the world. We've got a message for the city of London. We've got a message for our government. That's a good, strong message. And it's the only way I see that we're going to see justice, and we're going to see the needs of the poor met. We're going to see the needs of in our society met. If men and women who are righteous and just and who know Jesus start to behave and start to act as the body of Christ, start to do it together as one. And, you know, can one person change a nation? Yeah. Can one person change Broadfield Estate? Yeah, how many of you here? 50? 50 or 60? What an impact you can have. You're going to have, you are having. I know you are having an impact. But, you know, we need to call up the troops. We need to muster everyone, get all our reserves out of the cupboard and just get on with it, because there's never been a better time to approach and be around with the gospel than there is now, when people are feeling anxious because they're looking for answers. And the problem is, if the body of Christ don't provide the answer, they'll look elsewhere. They'll look to other things. And you probably know, because I know in our estate we've got people that go to spiritualists because they're desperate to find out what's going to happen in the future. But, you know, once you find Jesus, once they find Jesus, it's all in that book. Jesus wins. That's the end story. We don't know the final. Roger talks about the Bible being, I think it's four acts, a play of four acts. We've had the first three, which is when Jesus came and then was crucified. The fourth one is when he comes back again. He hasn't done that yet. But the word tells us that Jesus wins. And that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of hope that we have. And that's what the world needs out there, is a message of hope. That's not what I was going to talk about. But there you go. Let's move further down. I just want to read, take about three or four of these verses and very quickly just tell you what I felt the Lord was saying, but also to enable us to give us time to pray for you. If you go down to, I said about saying to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not, behold your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you, and that's a promise for us all, he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth. This is promise again, see? Waters will break forth in the wilderness, streams in the Arabah. If you're feeling desert, dry, this is the promise of God. This is what's here. This is what he's saying to us this morning for you and me. Okay? And the scorched land, here we go again, the scorched land will become like a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes, and a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be far for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up upon it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. Are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? Do you feel redeemed? You're going to walk there, see? And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You know, in the Old Testament, the people who were Jews were able to walk to the temple without having other unclean people near them. There was a sort of a highway that only Jewish people could walk on the way to the temple. That's what Isaiah is referring to here in this way. But you know, our whole walk with God, how we behave, how we act, how we interact with the world depends or where we are on that highway of holiness, if indeed we're on it. Now, it seems to me that that passage says that you won't get animals, wild animals on there that will attack you. You won't get people who deny Jesus won't be on there. It'll be for those who are redeemed. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are redeemed, okay? You need to know that. You are redeemed. You're entitled to walk on there. But it's not a given, okay? It's not something that happens and you're there and that's it. Because we can do things, we can make choices that will cause us to stumble, will cause us to trip off that, okay? Off that highway. It seems to me, I mean, when I was reading this and meditating on it, it seemed to me, well, and this isn't rocket science, believe me, if I'm walking on the highway of holiness and I'm walking as close as I can to Jesus, then it follows surely then that the closer I am to Jesus, the less likelihood I am to be dislodged. The less likelihood there is that I will be affected by wild animals or anything that might come to harm me. And so I've been trying to practice this in my own life, to walk, to keep as close to Jesus, to keep on that highway as close as I can to him, so that I will be less affected by the circumstances that come up around me. Now, I'm not perfect, and it doesn't always work, because I'm human like you are, and sometimes you trip, sometimes you make a wrong choice, and But the joy is, and the beautiful thing is, that you can get straight back on it once you've realized that you can get straight back onto it. So I want to encourage us right at the beginning of this time to seek after holiness, okay? Because everything that you want to do and everything that's in your heart and all the yearnings and the cravings and desires you have to serve Jesus will all flow out of that level of holiness. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Please just right. But yeah, so that's where we want to aim for throughout this weekend. We want to start on that. We cleared away some of the stuff last night. We want to get clear onto the highway of holiness. We want to get close to Jesus, because just listen to this, what happens. Again, we go back to verse 5. It says, the eyes of the blind will be opened. Okay. Now, what I was saying last night is that I felt that the church needs to have a restored prophetic edge. Yes? They need to get back to getting and using the gifts that God has given us. Gifts that we're entitled to have. Gifts that we can ask for and receive. Now, the word says there that he said he will open the eyes of the blind. Now, there's two ways you can look at that. One, it's physical eyes that will be healed, okay? And we'd like to pray for that. But I believe that what God is saying to us this morning through this passage is that he wants to open spiritual eyes. He wants to see the people of God seeing things in the spirit, seeing the approach of enemy activity, seeing stuff that's going to come and harm people, stuff that's going to harm the Broadfield estate, stuff that's coming out of the pit. I believe God wants to restore spiritual eyes. Some of you probably think, well, I used to see things in the spirit, but I don't now. It's not quite the same as it used to be. Some of you have said, well, I've never been able to do that, but I'd love to have that ability to be a seer. You know, that's how they used to talk about them in the Old Testament. That's all it means. Just to see things that God shows you in the spirit. And it's not spooky and it's not scary. It's just God gives you a revelation. You see something and you say, we need to pray about that. God wants to open those eyes that once were open and could see things in the spirit. But through something that somebody said, something that's happened in the past, something, maybe you've been intimidated by someone or something, and you've stopped, or you've closed your eyes, and so God has moved onto somebody else. If you don't use it, you lose it. Not as cruel as that. God wouldn't be as cruel as that. But do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're one of those people that used to see things and you're thinking, well, yeah, I used to see things like that and used to be able to, God used to speak to me and I used to see things and I was able to alert people, then we want to pray for you that God will reopen your eyes. The promise is the eyes of the blind will be opened. If you're somebody that has yearning and wants that gift, then we want to pray for you as well, because it's free. It's a gift. By that definition, it's free. He wants to give it to you. If you're asking for it, he wants to give it to you. It says the eyes of the blind will be opened. It may be that if you've had your sight damaged in any way, spiritually, by something that somebody said, or then it may be that there may be things you need to do. You may need to go and say to someone, you know, like, I let this happen and I'm sorry. It may be that perhaps you've said something to someone and you felt afterwards, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And maybe that's caused it. You may need to go and say to somebody in the body, look, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But that's what we're about, you know. Being in family, it's like being in relationship. It's like being in a crowded room and you got, do you know when you're sort of, can you imagine one of those bedrooms, us all squeezed into one of those bedrooms, and you'd be elbowing people, you'd be stepping on their toes, and you'd say, sorry about that, oh, sorry, elbow, no, oh, really, sorry, I didn't mean that. That's what it's like to be in the family of God. You do make mistakes, and you do sort of step on somebody's toes, and, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That's as simple as that. God wants to open the eyes, spiritual eyes of some this morning. He wants to give the gift to see things in the spirit this morning. If that's you, we want to pray for you later. Because I want to say the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And you know, this is similar, exactly the same as I've just been saying about eyes. How many of us, you know, when I first became a Christian, I used to hear from the Lord a lot. And then it just sort of, it fades away a little bit. And sometimes you say, oh, that's me. You hear something and you say, nah, that's me. Now, where do you think that word, where do you think that comes from? The devil, that's right. Now, if I said to Katie, I think the Lord's saying, sell your house and give all your money to me, Katie. Yes. Yes, it would. But you know, it's not as simple as that. I'm just saying that God gives us, he tells us things, he whispers. How many of you realize and know that God speaks today like he did in the Old Testament and the New Testament? Yeah. So we've got all that. It's a promise that he does speak. But for the same reasons that some of us have lost our spiritual eyesight, I think some of us, maybe the hearing's gone a little bit dull. And we need to sharpen up. We need to get it sharpened up. Maybe that the enemy has fed something in. I was praying for people last night about hearing things properly through their ears. Not the lie and the deceit and the accusation that the enemy pours in, but the love and the affirmation that Jesus pours in. So we need to, it may be that something has happened to you, something said something again, intimidated you, or said, oh, that's rubbish, or rubbish something that you thought you'd heard from the Lord. Well, God says he wants to reopen your ears this morning. He wants to, it may be physical hearing that he wants to reopen, and we'd love to pray for that as well. So it's eyes, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, things that the church needs desperately in these days. Because if we don't provide the answers, they're going to look at Ouija boards and seances and the rest of it. And that's just destroys, you know. Doesn't do anything. Just looks for answers from within yourself. Okay, so that's the eyes and ears. Are you still with me now? Good. And then the verse 6, it says, and the lame will leap like a deer. That's, I felt the Lord was saying, you know, I'm not expecting that you would sort of leap and prance, although I have been known to do that in the past. But, thank you. Thank you. I see their hand. And I know what room you're in. My car's outside your room tomorrow night. Tonight. No, it wasn't. No. No, I don't have one. Where I live, we don't need alarms, okay? We leave our front doors open. We sit on this doorstep. Lambs will leap like deer. And I felt too that what God was saying is that there was a time when many of us used to love to go and do evangelism, used to love to go and visit people's homes, knock on doors, used to love standing in Crawley Town Centre, yes, doing open airs, used to love doing that sort of thing. And for the same sort of reasons as the eyes and the ears have been closed down, we've lost that edge, the cutting edge. And it may be, all of these things may be and probably are connected to what I said before about holiness, the highway of holiness. Because let me say this, that if there's something that's going on in our lives, if we've got some unconfessed thing that's going on in our lives, once you start to fly in the Spirit, once you start to go with Jesus in a major way, the enemy knows just how to get you. And he can bring you down to earth just like that. Okay? It may be something like that that's halted you going out and declaring the good news of Jesus to people in the street. Now, it doesn't need to be that. Evangelism isn't just that. Evangelism is in giving your neighbor a cup of tea, getting somebody a glass of water, smiling at someone, behaving properly at work, doing honorable things. You know what I mean? It's all part of it. I just use what we tend to associate with evangelism, but we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to do that sort of work. And I love doing doors and I love standing on streets, but I know people in my current, Angela doesn't, that's not her thing. Angela does it, she prefers to do it one-to-one with friends, with neighbors and stuff like that. So it's not everyone's thing. But we're all called to do something, okay? And I believe the Lord's challenging us that we're, perhaps some of us used to do that and used to enjoy it, that because we've been somehow we've allowed the enemy to close us down, I believe the Lord wants to have you leaping like a deer with the gospel of Jesus. Restore that evangelistic thrust and that evangelistic heart in whatever, however way it manifests itself. So we'd love to pray with you. It may be you've got physical things wrong with your feet. We'd love to pray for that too. God is here. We know that because we heard what Stacey had to say. That was God. How are we doing? Good, all right. So then the rest of that verse says, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. This is to do with God releasing our mouths in worship, in prayer, but also in the prophetic stuff. Okay? Again, there's probably some of you here that think, well, I remember some years ago, I used to speak out. God used to give me things. I used to see things. I used to hear things. And I used to be able to speak them out. And, you know, sometimes when you do speak something out, when I said to you before, it's like, oh, that was me. It's, you know, the chances are that it wasn't you. It probably was God. But the enemy would tell you that it was you. And, you know, the prophetic is a dangerous thing. And, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, they all hated the prophets because they were telling them things, a lot of the people they didn't want to hear, you know. And so I believe God wants to free up our mouths. I believe God wants to give people prophetic words. He wants to give people stuff that is relevant to the body of Christ here in Broadfield. I believe, too, that some of you have closed your mouths through circumstances, through something that's happened. God wants to reopen that. Now, with this sort of stuff, there's always has to be lots of safeguards with it, with, you know, with prophetic things. And what I would urge you, if you feel that God's given you something like that, you should take it to your leaders first. Okay? Share it with your leaders first before you go any further afield. Because that way, you'll be safe and secure. Your leaders will know what's going on and will be able to help you and guide you in the way how best it should be released. That's just like a caution to put in there. But I believe God wants to give prophetic words, and I believe he is, even as I'm speaking, he's opening your mouth. But again, there may be things that you need to do that you may need to repent. It may be something that you've said or done, a choice you've made that's made it that your mouth has closed and you're not be able to speak it out because the enemy has got something on you. And you need to get rid of that. But I believe some of you want that gift. I've never had it. And you'd be saying, oh, I'd love to do that. The gift is here. It's yours. It's free. If you want it, we would love to pray with you. Okay? Well, if you go on to verse, the end of that verse 6 and 7, it's those promises. Because when the body starts to move, when the body of Christ starts to move in the gift, starts to exercise the gifts, then all this stuff will happen. Waters will break forth in the wilderness, streams in the Araba, streams in Broadfield Estate. Can you imagine it? Sweeping through, bringing seasons and waves of salvation as the church starts to speak out and starts to speak. God starts to give you insight into people's lives. You know, that rocks them on their heels. You know? One of the verses that we used in, we've used in the past in Woolwich, were those verses in Joshua where it said about, you know, when the spies went in to see and they met Rahab, and Rahab said something, I'll paraphrase this, that news of you has reached us. And there's not a knee that's not shaking in this nation because of what your God has done. Wouldn't that be lovely that you went into the state in Broadfield and people said, do you know what? We're terrified, or not terrified, we're shaking with fear because of what your God is doing. Because that's the first road to salvation then. They're open. What does it say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, wouldn't that be lovely? It's when we start to function as God made us to function that we start to see some of these things happening. I'm desperate to see waters breaking forth in Woolwich, desperate to see wilderness stuff breaking out. And the other thing is, you know, the other benefit of this is that when you start to move, when we start to move in these sorts of things, the dryness in our own lives changes. And we start to experience the springs welling up from within us and start to get dreams like Stacey. You know, Stacey's life was crowded in with circumstance, so it was difficult for God to get in. Once Stacey started to lay those things at the cross, it's like, you know, on a computer when you delete stuff, gives you more space to receive more. It's a bit like that. And as soon as he started to lay the things down, God started to speak. Wasn't that he wasn't speaking to him before, it's just that he hadn't got the memory to take it, to receive it. But now he has, because those things are at the cross. That's where we have to take all that stuff, take it to the cross. The other benefit is, of course, that it says there'll be no wild animals there. We'll be less in the firing line. Now, there are some people who would say that if you're living your life according to scripture and you're doing all the things that you're supposed to do, that you will attract enemy activity around you. There's that side to it. But the difference between being active and having that enemy activity and being inactive and having enemy activity around you, on the one side you've got the power of God, you're close to Jesus, you're working and you can deal with it, you can confront it. But sometimes when we're in inactive and we're in weakness, it's sometimes a bit, if you're ill, it's very hard to fight off anything when you're feeling ill. And so it's more difficult, and you've still got to confront those things, but it's more difficult to do it. I want to encourage you to stay on the active side, stay on the side of Jesus. If you want those gifts, if you want us to pray with you, why don't you just stand up? Can we have a bit of music? Yeah. Sorry. I want to, Angela, would you come? Dave, is that okay if we just pray for one or two people? What I'd like us to do, if you would like us to pray with you over any of those things, whether it's eyesight, physical or spiritual, ears, physical or spiritual, feet, physical or spiritual, what was the other thing?
Mouth.
Oh, yeah, just on the mouth thing. I feel too that some of you, and this may be, who here is involved in worship in any way? One, two.
Who else?
Okay. I feel that the Lord, I don't know whether you've ever written things or stuff like that, or ever had an urge or a desire, but I really feel God wants to release songs. And that's another thing I think that the enemy has closed down, perhaps in some of you, that you've got a real sense of inadequacy. Actually, that's not a bad place to be, but I don't think God's put that there. I think the enemy's put that there, and I really feel that he wants to open those wells again and start to give you songs that will songs for the moment for this fellowship. But also too, I felt, does any of you sing in the spirit? Do you know what I mean by that? I believe the Lord wants to release more singing in the spirit. I believe that he wants to unstop our mouths in that whole area of singing in the spirit, because it's so powerful. You know, when you pray for someone, you start to sing in the spirit over them, the enemy cannot interfere. And when the body of Christ comes together and starts to sing in the spirit over an issue, over something, the enemy has to flee. He hates it. So I believe God wants to unstop mouths in that sense as well. He wants to give people new songs. He wants to. Do you speak in tongues here?
Yes. Yeah.
It may. Sorry. I should have known that. Well, I know them too because they're always at it at the prayer and fasting. But I just want to. I believe that God wants to give. If you haven't got that gift, I believe God wants you to have it this morning. We'd love to pray for that as well. So. We're here at your disposal. We're going to have some music. I'm going to ask you to come right out here. Jesus died on the cross. It was a public display on a cross. He could have chosen other ways of doing it, but he chose to do it publicly for us. And I think it's not no mean thing to ask us just to step forward and just demonstrate that we mean business with Jesus. And then Angela and I will pray with you and anoint you with oil, if that's all right, just to signify a new start, a new gift, or whatever it is that you want us to pray about. Okay? So don't hold back. Just come right now. We'll just do that.